All right, let's get ourselves ready for the Word of God. So with your Bibles in your hands, let's go through our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are once again grateful for any opportunity we get to share the word of God. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your amazing mercy, your tender love, and your kindness towards us. God, we thank you for this preaching moment. We thank you for the worship experience from the beginning of the service all the way up until now and through it. God, we pray that your hand would be on it and your hand would be on us. And we thank you that no one's coming will be in vain, and revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered, unchecked, and uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic forces. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Amen. Today, we're simply going to start with this title, Shine. Shine. Nothing, you get to a place in your life where nothing can stop your shine. And that should be the goal. So, but we're actually framing it around the understanding of what is happening tomorrow, which is the eclipse. And so let us give a definition of eclipse. And it simply means an obscuring of the light from one celestial body by the passage of another between it and the observer, or between it and the source of illumination. Meaning one source is passing in front of the other source, creating an eclipse because it blocks the light from the original source. And so what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about three things that block the light. And so they will be point one, point two, and point three. But then we're going to talk about four things that allow the light. And so we're going to work it with the three things that block it, the four things that allow the light. And so what I'm going to do, point one, two, and three will be things that block the light, but there'll be an A, B, C, and a D, and there'll be four things that allow the light, because on the last thing that blocks the light, we're going to give you two things that allow the light. And so there's several things we can do. I just want to give us a little bit. And then after I get through that, then I'm going to talk about shine. So that ought to give you where we're going. That's the setup. So let's jump right into it. Number one thing that blocks the light is sin. Something we all know about and we are all familiar with. But I'm going to go back to something we preached on last week from Resurrection Sunday, picking from that story to talk about that light. And so the blockage of that light. So let's look at Mark 15, 33 through 34. It says this: when it was noon, 12 p.m., darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. So from 12 to 3, there was darkness. It says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" Or "why have you abandoned me?" And so we talked about it last week, so I won't give us a whole lot of on it this week, because you know it was the crucifixion story. But that is a time where we actually saw an eclipse. The sun became darkened. Now, in our time, on tomorrow, they're expecting to last anywhere from 3 to 4 minutes. This was a 3-hour eclipse. It lasted for 3 hours. Well, why did it last that long? It's because God turned his back on the sun. Why did God turn his back on the sun? Because the sun was taking on all of the sin, and God could not look at the sin, but God is the source of light. And in between God and the sun was sin, not just any sin, the sin of the entire world, past, present, and future. And so what that did, that eclipsed the light. And so sin blocks the light. But it's actually a beautiful thing, because if that is the only thing that I would say, we would all be in trouble, because the scripture says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's not the individual sin, it's the entire sin. And so the beauty of it, we talked about it also last week, is the great trade. And so here's the great trade. Let's look at it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is what Jesus was doing on the cross. For he hath made him to be sin for us, or in our place, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the whole goal was, I'm going to turn my back on my son, because he's accepting the sin, but he's accepting the sin for us, because he knew no sin. He had never sinned. He didn't understand sin. He had never fallen in sin. So the sin that he had on him was our sin. But then we were traded our sin for his righteousness. So number one, sin blocks the sun, but here's point A to go along with what allows the light, or allows things to come through the darkness: righteousness. And so the beautiful thing is, he took on the darkness and he gave us the righteousness, which means he gave us the light. So let's look at Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So bright daylight instead of dark sin, and we get that because of the cross. And so here's the thing that I need you to understand. There's no sense in you crying over your sins. Of course you want to do better. We all want to do better. But there's no sense in crying over your mistakes when you can embrace his righteousness. Because when you embrace his righteousness, you are allowing the light to come on in. And yes, you have made some mistakes, but we're not going to focus on the mistakes. That's why we say we confess our deliverance consistently, which means we don't have it all together. We're not all together, but we know the one who is all together. And so I keep talking to him. I keep hanging with him. I keep singing, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you, because you gave me your righteousness for my sin, which means you gave me light for my darkness. And it didn't cost me anything but to believe. It is the greatest deal in the world. It's the greatest coupon ever. It's the greatest buy one, get one free. He purchased our salvation through his blood on the cross. And when we say yes to him, we get his righteousness, which means we get his light. It's a beautiful thing. So let's go to point number two. So sin blocks it. Righteousness allows it in. Here's another thing that blocks the light: chaos. Chaos blocks the light. Now, this is not in my notes. I just want to throw this in there, because I know a lot of y'all are workers and a lot of y'all have to go to work on Monday. But, you know, some people function in chaos. They like chaos. And when you are a person who doesn't like chaos, it's bothersome to be around people who love chaos and confusion, because chaos does not allow light to come in. Chaos is chaos, but some people like chaos. Some people like toxicity. But the older I get, I don't want no chaos. I want peace and quietness. I understand now why my mama and daddy sometimes just wanted the house quiet. Why you want it so quiet? I understand now, because sometimes I don't even want to hear the birds chirping. I don't want the dog to bark. I don't want the TV on. I want some peace and quietness, because chaos has a way of bringing darkness. All right, so let's go all the way to the beginning. Genesis 1, 2. We're going to read it in the Message Bible, so it'll be just a little different and fresh. It says, first this, God created the heaven and earth. All you see, all you don't see, was created initially at the beginning. Look at what the Message translation says next. It says, earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. And so if you know anything about the scriptures, there is time between verse 1 and verse 2, because God doesn't create anything in chaos. There was a chaotic event that happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. We understand it was the fall of Satan. And when Satan landed in the earth, it created chaos. And so this writer here calls it a soup of nothingness, a bottomless, an emptiness pit, an inky blackness. In other words, it was just a chaotic mess. And then the scripture says, but the Spirit of God hovered over, the King James says hovered over the waters. Here it says brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. And so what I love that it's saying is that chaos is not good. Chaos blocks the light, but God is not afraid of chaos. God will swoop down in over your chaos. But here's the thing, when God shows up, he ain't gonna leave it chaotic. God ain't going to leave it anything like he found it. He always going to change it up. He always going to flip the script. He always going to turn it around. And so even though you may be functioning in chaos, I still tell you, invite him in. Because once he gets done, it ain't going to be as chaotic as it started. So let's go to B, what allows the light in, especially in chaos. B is this, put it up there, God's word. How can you say that? Well, look at what Genesis 1 and 3 says. It says this, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the English Standard Version, very close to the King James Version, but it does a disservice to the actual Hebrew. The actual Hebrew really says light be. In other words, it says, light, I know you're in there, even though you're being hidden by the chaos, and I'm commanding the light to come out of the darkness. And so God's word can interrupt a chaotic event and cause light to come out of something that's filled with nothingness, emptiness, and darkness. So if you want to let light in, you got to let God's word in. Okay, that sounds cute, but how can I prove it from scripture? Let me do it. Psalms 119, verse 130, the longest chapter of the entire Bible. It says this, the entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So if I am in sin and I am in chaos, all I need is a dose of God's word. And God's word, the entering of his word, brings light. See, when you entered the doors or when you logged in online, you thought you was just going to church or tuning in. But what you're doing is you're making an opening for the entrance of his word. And when his word comes in, light comes in. And when light comes in, light runs darkness away every single time. So it may be something trying to block the light, but God is letting you know how to allow the light to come on in. So you need God's word. Now let me add this. Some people come through the doors. Some people tune in, but they really don't get the word, because they're just in every place but where they're at. I heard Deion Sanders say, be where your feet are, which means if you're here, ain't no need you thinking about the roast you got at home. Be here if you're here. Be where you are and where you're present at. And it's important because our mind has a tendency to wander and travel and go. And there's nothing wrong with daydreaming unless you're daydreaming at the wrong time. I used to be good at daydreaming in school. The problem was they would call, Andre, what's the answer? I don't even know what they're talking about. I didn't took a trip. I'm gone in my mind. It's not always good to be gone in your mind. Sometimes you got to learn how to be present, because if light is where you are presently, guess what? If you're daydreaming, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have darkness. So you got to learn how to be where the light is. All right? So let's move on to point number three. Moving right along. So judgment. Judgment is another thing that blocks the light. So we have sin, we have chaos, we have judgment. The only thing about judgment is sometimes judgment can come from God. Sometimes it can come from another source, but sometimes it can come from God. So that means sometimes God's judgment can actually block or hinder or interrupt the light. So let's go to Joel 2:1. It says this, it says, "Sound the trumpet in Jerusalem, raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us." Let me pause. Let me share with you that the day of the Lord is meaning the day of his wrath. We are covered under the grace of God. And under the grace of God, what that does is it postpones and it delays the day of his wrath. For example, many of you have a mortgage, and on your mortgage, many of your mortgages are due the first of the month, but they have what they call a grace period. For me, my grace period is 15 days, so I could pay it on the 1st or I can pay it on the 16th. The 17th, they start charging a late fee. So I've got 15 days to get the payment in before the late fee kicks in. And once the late fee kicks in, then guess what? The credit score starts dropping. It's a whole negative, adverse situation. So what you have to understand is you got to take advantage of grace while grace is available. Right now, we are in the space of grace. We are in the space where we can confess our deliverance. We are in the space where the chaos that's in our life, the Spirit of God can swoop down over the chaos and bring light to the chaos. We are in a good place, but don't let grace run out on you. I can't tell you when the grace age will end. I don't know. All I know is I'm not going to waste time when I could be getting it in. Now, here's the thing. My bills are on auto pay, so I make sure that I click 15 or 16, not 17. Well, it was only one day, but listen, it was actually due on the 1st. It's not due on the 16th. It's due on the 1st, but they're giving me grace. And so if I want to take all the grace is good, but don't get caught. Let me give you another example. There was something back in the day called same as cash. And some people use that. It's a good way to get discounts on things. Same as cash means 0% interest. It's same as cash for 6 months. But don't get mad if they charge you all that interest on the 7th month, because the grace has run out. So there's a lot of people who take advantage of grace and don't try to get their act together while grace is available. I done made some blunders in my Christian life, but I'm grateful for grace, and I tried to get up and move forward. I don't try to stay where I fell, because I don't want grace to run out. Basically, what I'm saying, I don't want judgment to come, because if judgment come, all of us is in trouble. Oh, I don't care what denomination you in. I don't care what religion you in. We all in trouble. We all are using borrowed breath. He breathed the breath of life in us, and we do what we want, when we want, how we want. And guess what? It's God who gave us the breath. And if he gets tired and wants to judge, he can snatch the breath away. So I've learned I'm going to lean into your grace. So what does that mean, Pastor Andre? It means I just take advantage of stuff. So when they pray the sinner's prayer, I pray it too. Even though I believe I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, it ain't going to hurt me to pray it again, say it again. Because while I'm working through this life, I still got some sin left in my members. Because your flesh will never be saved. Your soul and your spirit get regenerated. But you got to work with your flesh. You got to crucify your flesh. And it don't always want to die. It don't die easy. And there's some days my flesh is not dead at all. My flesh ain't even sick. My flesh don't even have a headache. It is well and alive. And so I can't afford to not take advantage of the grace of God when it's available to. So guess what I do? I say sorry. I say I repent. Lord, forgive me. Now, I'm not repenting for him to do it because he's already done it. But I'm repenting to say, God, I want you to know I appreciate what you've done for me, because one of the worst things you can do with grace is take it for granted. One of the worst things you can do in any relationship is to take the person who's done the most for you for granted. And there's nobody that you've been in relationship with that's done more for you than what God has done for you. So don't take him for granted. That also means I say thank you. I don't always pray every time I wake up and my feet hit the ground, but somewhere in them first several minutes, thank you, Lord. I appreciate you. If that's all I say, I'm great, because I want God to know I'm grateful, because not everybody laid down and woke back up. Not everybody was able to clock in at a job. Here's what I sometimes do. I complain all the way to the job because I don't want to go to the job. But when I clock in, I say, God, I thank you that I got a job. Because I'm grateful anyhow. I'm thankful anyhow. I'm not thankful 100% of the time, but I'm trying to remind myself to be thankful because of his grace. All right, let's move on. Just give you a few more things. Verse 10 and 11 says this. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark. The stars no longer shine. I do want to pause and say that we are preparing for the eclipse, but many of you may have known that there have been earthquakes that have been spotted around the land. Even New York and New Jersey had earthquakes. Philadelphia felt earthquakes. There was an earthquake in California and other places around the land. Yes, God is good to his people, but the world has to pay for some of the junk that's in the world. And so judgment is coming to the land. And the Bible says, how many of you Bible scholars, I'll go ahead and throw it out there. Where does the Bible say judgment begins at? I heard you. I think Sister Kay, I heard you say it again. The house of God. Judgment begins right here with you and I. So let's look at this next verse. It says this. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with the shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? It calls the day of the Lord awesome and also terrible. Both in the Hebrew, that awesome and terrible was very similar. In our day and age, awesome and terrible are two different sides of the spectrum. Awesome and terrible are like on both opposite ends, but it's like, I believe Charles Dixon said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. If you understand the grace of God and you understand how to allow his light to come in when things are terrible on one side, they'll be blessed on another side. So the people of God are going to be blessed while the people of the enemy are going to be cursed. It's not going to be the same for everybody. So you ought to make up in your mind right now which side you want to be on before the trouble comes. See, the NCAA tournament is going on right now. We've got, I believe, Iowa and South Carolina for the women, and then we're going to have Purdue and UConn for the men. And throughout the tourney, what happens when you get to the last several teams, you have what they call bandwagon fans. In other words, you weren't a fan all year long, but you decide at the end you want to choose somebody to ride with. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but when it comes to the things of God, it might be too late to jump on the bandwagon. In Noah's day, Noah preached for 120 years. Rain is going to come, and they were like, Noah, crazy. All they had ever seen was dew come up from the ground. They had never seen water come from the sky. And this crazy man saying it's going to rain, but he built this big old boat. But baby, when the rain came, they wished they could have got on board, but the door was closed. So if I was you, I would stay on the winning side. You're already in church on a Sunday morning, so you've already chosen the winning side. So stay with the winning side, because you don't want judgment to come and you caught on the outside. So you want it to be awesome and you want it not to be terrible. So that leads us to point number C, which allows the light in, which is what I'm telling us about, is repentance. We stay in the mode of repentance. Well, what if you've already repented? And then you do it again. You mess up again. Well, welcome to humanity. So guess what? Repent again. Actually, pent means to turn. Pent, the Latin pent repentance actually means to turn. So repent means return. So if you were focused on God and something got you off, all you got to do is return. You ain't got to cry about it. You ain't got to fuss about it. You ain't got to stay away from church for 18 months. Just return. And guess what you find out when you return? He's standing right where you left him. So here's the reason why judgment has to come, because he's made it so easy for you to return that if you don't return, you need whatever you get. Whatever you got coming to you, you need it. You deserve it, because he made it so available to you to return. Another thing, in the pent repentance is the Latin, but there's another pent, which is a meaning like a high place. So a penthouse is a high place. And so it also means return to the high place. So if you've fallen, God says you can return to the high place. If somehow you get on an elevator and accidentally push the down button, and once you go to the bottom, all you got to do is push the up button. You ain't got to cry about being down. Just push the up button and you'll go back up. So if you've fallen, you can get back up and you can go back up. God has made it so easy under grace that if you mess with the grace and get caught in judgment, you got whatever you got. You get whatever you get. Because he's really made it easy for us. Let's look at how it says in 1 John. We're going to jump to 1 John 1, 6 through 7. It says this. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, which means continue in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You're lying if you say that you can consistently continue in darkness. We're not talking about a struggle. A struggle is a struggle. It means you're weak to it and you battle with it. We ain't talking about struggling. We're talking about people who are comfortable in darkness, comfortable in wickedness. Yeah, pastor, I steal. That's just how I make my money, and I don't care who I steal from, and I'm still going to come to church. I'll probably steal from you too. No. You are comfortable in darkness. It's different when a person says, I have trouble with stealing. I steal and I don't mean to steal. And pastor, I need to give this back to you because I took it from you. I didn't mean to take it from you, but I got a problem. That's a different story than people comfortable in darkness. So the scripture says, basically, if you walk in darkness, if you're comfortable in darkness, you don't have the truth and you're just a lie. And as this old saying, you're a lie and the truth ain't in you. All right, but read this. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What's so beautiful about this? It says, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we don't mind sharing our weaknesses with one another, because I feel like I can gain strength. Sister Teresa, there's an area that I struggle in. Sister Teresa says, Brother Andre, there's an area I struggle in. I'll pray for you, and you pray for me. And then what happens is we do life together, and we grow. And the Bible says, in the process, the blood of Jesus washes us of our sins. Now here, the Sedini folk will look at me and Sister Teresa and say, ah, I know their problem. I know their issue. I can look at them and tell I know the issue, but they don't know God is washing us of our sin because we're honest. We're not trying to lie. We're not trying to hide. We're trying to come into the light. See, if you're comfortable in darkness, one thing you don't like is the light. Let me prove it to you. When you're sleeping real, real good and somebody turned the light on, what it do? It hurts you. Because you are comfortable in the darkness. You don't want nobody turning on. Cut that light off. Maybe it's giving me a headache. Well, when you're comfortable in wickedness, you don't want nobody bringing light around you. When you're comfortable in depression, you don't want nobody bringing joy. When you're comfortable in lies, you don't want nobody bringing truth. If you're comfortable in stuff, you don't want the light. But when you really are trying, you'll find somebody to do life with. And hopefully in Deliverance Temple, there's enough folk in here that you can feel like, listen, together we're going to get our sins cleansed. Why? Because the blood is available to us. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's why imperfect people can come in the house of God and praise God. Y'all being phony? No, we're not being phony. But when I look across the aisle, I see somebody that should have gave up, and they're here. When I look behind me, I see somebody that used to be this, but they came out of it. And I find out that we are all in this thing together, and we are Deliverance Temple, and we are getting delivered along the way. So I praise him because I know the God that brings light to dark situations. So we repent, and that leads me to the next point for this of allowing light in, D, because this one had two. We receive. We receive. We embrace it. Well, Pastor, you sinned. Yeah, I did, but I received forgiveness. I don't know what your problem is. And stop letting people hold your old you against you. See, that was so 2023. This is 2024. I'm a brand new man. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Yeah, I'll do a new thing. Well, didn't you get evicted? Well, baby, watch me. I'm getting in a mortgage. I'm getting in a brand new house. You can talk about my past if you want to, but look at my future. My future is bright. And here's the reason why. Look at John 1. Now, John is, when you get to John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are synoptic gospels. So they're a little different. John is a different type of gospel. And so some people believe it's the same John that wrote Revelations. If it is, it's because he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was actually written after the book of Revelation. So he's seen it from a different vantage point. So he starts his book about Jesus entirely different than the rest of the gospels. And how does it start? Let's look at it here. John 1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Here's the point right here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. My father, every time he would preach this verse, he would say, in him was the L-I-F-E, but the L-I-F-E produced the L-I-G-H-T. So because of his life in me, I now have light. Yes, I should be dark. Yes, I should be dim. Yes, I should be destroyed. Yes, I should be dysfunctional. Yes, I should be depressed. But I got the light of God in me. I can't help my shine. So there's no reason you being mad at my shine and jealous of my shine, because my shine ain't got nothing to do with me. My shine has got everything to do with the L-I-F-E that's on the inside of me. And the L-I-F-E came from the B-L-O-O-D and the C-R-O-S-S. Because of the blood and the cross, I have life. And because I have life, I have the L-I-G-H-T. I can't help but shine. That's why I'm grateful from the little kids that was there. They say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And baby, Sister Serenity, bless my soul. Sister Serenity was dancing that thing out. I'm going to let it shine. Well, when you realize who God is in you, you'll be like Serenity. You'll say, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Why would we let it shine? Look at the next verse here. It says this. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The beautiful thing about light is actually more powerful the darker it gets. The lighter it is, the less powerful you realize the light is. You don't know how bright something is until things get dark. And so let me let you know something. The devil may be trying to eclipse your life and bring darkness into your life and bring divorce into your life and bring trouble into your life. But guess what? That's when you find out how bad your light is. Your light is better than what you know. It just hasn't got dark enough yet. Now, don't none of us like a whole bunch of darkness. But Deliverance Temple, we done been through some darkness. And one thing I'm finding out about this church, we are not made to fold. We're not brittle people. The bounce back that's in us is so strong, it's ridiculous. Our light is shining. Our light is shining so much that folk that don't go here know about us. They know about who we are because we're making a difference, because the darker it gets, the more our light has to shine. So put this up right here. Some people really going to clap for this part. They love this part. Conclusion. But I'm my conclusion. I'm going to stretch it out a little bit. Here's something I want to say right here. So I'm piggybacking on point D, the last two, point C and D. If you have repented and received, the only thing left to do is to shine. Remember, I told you the sermon was shine, but I wasn't going to get to the shine until later. Well, now we're at the shine part. So let's put this up here to shine. You know, I love a good old acronym. So this is S-H-I-N and then E. So let's put this up here to show us how to sign. Serve him in everything. So that means I know how to shine. I'm going to serve him in everything. Well, aren't you grieving? Yes, but I'm still serving. Aren't you hurting? Yes, but I'm still serving. Didn't you mess up? Yes, but I'm still serving. What did they lie on you? Yes, but I'm still serving. Because when I serve him in everything, what I'm doing is I'm shining. And guess what? The devil gets mad over time that he messed with me, because he realizes every time I mess with him, all he ends up doing is shining the more and shining the more and shining the more. I can't turn the shine off. I can't dim my shine. I can't lower my shine. My shine is on 10. My shine is on 1,000. My shine is on 1,000,000. I can't help it because of the life of God on the inside of me. All right. So let's move on, right on. Another verse here that will help us. This is Paul speaking to Corinth, and he's going back and picking up Genesis and giving them a revelation of Genesis. And he says this: for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, which we already seen in Genesis, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ, the face of the Christos, the face of the anointed one and his anointing. And which basically what this means is, when I'm facing darkness, darkness doesn't see my face. It sees the face of Christ that's coming from my heart. And so that's why sometimes darkness goes so far and then backs up off of me, because it got too close and it seen Jesus shining through me. Now, darkness sometimes remains for a while. The scripture says it this way: weeping may endure for a night. A night is not a 24-hour period of time or 365 days. Night is a season. But weeping may endure for a season, but joy is coming in the morning. The joy is actually coming from inside of me and going outside of me, and it's lighting my pathway. It's lighting my way. And let me go ahead and do a carnal example for some of y'all carnal folk, because not everybody's spiritual. Some of y'all are carnal. But let me be carnal for a second. I'm reminded of Michael Jackson when he would walk, and every time he stepped, the ground would light up. Baby, when you got the right light, it may be dark, but just go ahead and step. It's going to light up under you. Go ahead and step. It's going to light up under you. Go ahead and go back to school. It's going to light up. Go ahead and buy the house. It's going to light up. Go ahead and marry the girl. It's going to light up. It's going to light up, but you got to step in order to see the light. Somebody say, step into the light. Another thing I'm basically saying, and this is for the carnal folk too, because I know y'all religious folk don't understand this, but basically what I'm saying is this, go ahead and put it up. Turn up. Turn all the way up. I mean, go ahead and get bright. Go ahead and shine. Next time somebody say you look good, just go ahead and say, I know. You ain't got to be humble all the time. Just say, I know. Yeah, I done worked on this thing. I've been in this thing long enough. I've been down long enough. I know what God is doing in my life. I know. I'm not being prideful. I'm just letting you know I done come from so far. I know what it took to walk in the light I'm walking in now. So I'm going to turn up. Now for you spiritual folk, I'm going to give you a spiritual version of turn up. And this is what Jesus said. He said it this way. Let's look at Matthew 15 through 16. It says this, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, you remember, in this time this was written, there was no electricity. So that light was the only light they had. And look what it says next. It says, in the same way, let your light shine. Go ahead and bring it on the screen. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, I don't want you to get it twisted. You're not shining the light so they can look at you. You're shining the light so they can look at the Father in heaven. In other words, it has to be so bright that people know it couldn't be you. Let me let you know something. The scripture says, is there anything good come out of Nazareth? They can say the same thing about Muncie. Is there anything good come out of Muncie? Yes, it is, but it ain't because of me. It's because of the God in me. It's because of the God that has his hand on me, his purpose over my life. Let me give you something. I'm coming to a close, but just I do this every now and then. I don't necessarily like to do it because you can get tricked doing it, but I felt impressed to do that. So I was just going through my normal prayer devotion, and it was going to be a quick devotion because I was tired and I wanted to go to bed. So I was just going to say a little bit of, God bless you, love you, pray for a few folk at Deliverance Temple, and I was getting ready to go to bed. Now, when I say that, I work all night long, so a lot of times I'm praying all night. So I had done my praying, I'd done my reading, so I was just going to give a little cherry on top, go to bed. But I heard the Spirit of God say, open the Bible. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to open the Bible. And I've learned that when he's talking, I do what he say to do. I don't tell him, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. I'm beyond that. I just go ahead and do what he tell me to do. And I was like, where am I turning it to? And it's just, he didn't really say anything, but I just felt him say random. And so I just stuck my finger in a random place, flipped it over, didn't know where it was, and just looked down. And when I looked down, I had landed in Nehemiah. And it was a place where God told Nehemiah that his hand was on him. And God said, Andre, my hand is on your life. I'm so glad that I didn't go to sleep and listen to the Lord. And I just opened to a spot for him to tell me his hand is on me. Yes, I made some mistakes, but his hand is on me. Yes, I got some trouble, but his hand is on me. And that's why I can't help but shine, and you can't help but shine, because when God puts his hand on you, can't nothing stop it. And I ain't said this in a while I was preaching, so let me say it now. What God has for me, it is for me, because his hand is on my life. And the Bible says the anointing goes from the top
And it flows down the skirts of the garment. So if God's hand is on the pastor, that means everybody connected to the pastor. The anointing is going to touch every single one of us. You can't help but shine because God's hand is on your life.
So because of that, here we go. In Isaiah 61 and 2, it says this. This is a command. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. I know there's an eclipse, but I'm letting you know your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Upon is an interesting word. It's two words. It's up and on. See, you've been putting all this stuff on the inside. Remember, we talked about the path within in the inward in the pathway series. We talk about going inward and you're building stuff in. But sometimes when you build so much in, it begins to overflow. So it comes up and on. And God is saying your light is come. In other words, your time to shine has come. It's not always time to shine. There's a time for everything. There's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. There's a time for the loss. There's a time to work. There's a time for a lot of things. And guess what? Deliverance Temple, we done been through a lot of those times. But I hear God say, arise. Get up, because your light has come. Your day to shine has come. Your day for people to look at you and be confused and say, good God Almighty, how did that happen? The other day, I had a person flag me down. First of all, I seen them. And I passed by them, and I waved, but I forgot my windows are tinted. So I was like, they probably didn't even see me waving. So I just kept on driving. But next thing I know, the person had got beside me, and they started honking. And I rolled the window down. They looked and said, man, that's a bad car, man. He said, Andre, that's a bad MF. He said, ooh, I'm sorry for cussing. But I just want to let you know that thing is bad. Listen, when God bless you, they can't help but say stuff. He said stuff he didn't even mean to say, because when you start shining, everybody gonna know. They're gonna have to flag you down and say, God must have done that. I don't know what you've been doing. I don't know what you've been through, but I see the hand of God and the light of God over your life. Oh, this is not scientifically true, but let me say this. The reason why the sun can only be darkened for 4 minutes is because Deliverance Temple is here. It can't be dark too long because we shining too much. All right. Look at what the next verse says. Here it goes, and here's the reason why. It says this, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Just because it's shining for you don't mean it's not going to keep getting dark. And thick darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Somebody say, upon me. So here's the sad thing. Like I said, it's the best of times, and it's the worst of times. The bad thing is it's going to be the worst of times for some people. But the beautiful thing is the darker it gets, the more the light shines. So when you look good, just go ahead and look to the right and the left of you. Look behind you. One thing you're going to see, you can look up here. One thing you're going to see is you're going to see people, but you're also going to see empty seats. Every Sunday, there's empty seats. Sometimes there's more empty seats than full seats. We thank God for the people online, but in the building, there's a lot of empty seats. But baby, when it gets dark, guess what happens? Folk are going to have to come to the light. So don't worry about the empty seats. You just keep on shining. Keep coming and keep shining. Guess what? Next thing you know, people are going to be sitting next to you because you are attracting people in, because your light going to shine and people are going to wonder, I want what you got. And before I close, there was these two preachers, and I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. These two preachers who are going on they were on a ministry trip. And their wives wanted to go to the mall. And so they went to the mall with their wives, but they were not interested in shopping. They were just sitting down, waiting on their wives. But the wives took so long shopping, they got up and started walking through the mall. And then there's this lady that ran behind them, chased them down, got on her knees and said, pray for me. And And so they asked the lady, like, first of all, do you know us? So I don't know who you are, but I've been going through, and I called out to God, and God told me to go to the mall, and the two men with the light above their head asked them to pray for you. They were just going to the mall. They didn't know what they was doing, but their light was shining. See, here's the thing. Not everybody will see it, but the dark folk will find you because you have a light that is different than any other light. So they prayed for her, and they told her, we're preaching at such and such a place. She gave her heart to the Lord, and her whole family got saved and delivered because she found the folk with the light. And that's why all your work can't be in the four walls of the building. Some of y'all got to be out there doing stuff out there. I don't want to have church in here all the time. Go out there and live. But when you live, live with the light on. That way when the dark folks see you, they'll be drawn to the light. Guess what? Bugs are always drawn to the light. So when demons are bugging folk, guess what's going to it? Pull them to the light. All right? We are finished. Let's go to this confession. Here's the confession. Let's put this up here. Let's say this together. Say it with me. Say, nothing is going to block my shine because victory is mine. Nothing is going to block my shine because victory is mine. Say it one final time like you mean it. Nothing, nothing, nothing is going to block my shine because victory is mine. Come on, clap your hands and praise the Lord. All right. Now we have people who are traveling for miles to come to see the light get blocked. But one time people, but sometime later, don't know when, people are going to be coming to travel miles to see the light turned on right here at Deliverance Temple. Let's go to our communion. All right, let's stand to our feet. Stand together. Online, hopefully you can do this with us. All right, take me to my scripture. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 25 reads this thusly. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread and let's eat. Saints, when his body was broken, that's when the darkness came. All right, it says this, after the same manner, he also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink. Through his blood, that's where the light comes. All right, our final verse is verse 26. It says this, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he's come, till he comes. But his death became our light. Say that with me. Say, his death became my light. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you, God. We thank you that nothing can stop our shine because of what you've done. God, we pray that the light of God would rise through us. God, no sin, no chaos, no judgment will get in our way. We will allow the light to come in. We will allow the light to shine forth, and people will know it's not us. It's you, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. God bless you.